The Indiana Murals by Thomas Hart Benton are one of IU's major attractions. The panorama, representing the history of the state, was commissioned for the Chicago World's Fair in 1933 and ultimately installed in several buildings on the Bloomington campus. A young Abe Lincoln and hooded Klansmen are easily recognized, but others are not. One of the mural's more obscure figures is the subject of a new book and exhibition. WFIU's Yael Cassander reports.
Rachel Perry and I are scanning the Benton murals in the grand lobby of the IU Auditorium to locate the subject of Perry's latest book.
I wonder how many people actually realize that that's him.
We found our guy in the middle of cultural panel number 8, the section dedicated to leisure and literature, hung over the staircase on the north side of the lobby.
It looks like he's hunched over with a very small brush, hunched over an easel painting and leaning forward.
And this is not the way William Forsythe's biographer imagines him at all.
I just never picture him painting like that. He was gestural, he was uninhibited, and he had very almost violent brush strokes sometimes.
According to Perry's research, the portrayal doesn't accurately convey the artist's body language or working method. But the very fact of his inclusion in this definitive pictorial history of the state might be the ultimate testament to his personality.
Only the strong persist.
That's the subtitle of the William Forsythe retrospective Perry has curated at the Indiana State Museum. Forsythe had to have been strong and persistent to have turned up in the mural. He was 78 by the time it was painted, and better known by then as a teacher than an exhibiting artist.
But it is kind of strange that Forsythe was chosen instead of T.C. Steele, who was, of course, you know, the dean of all artists in Indiana.
But T.C. Steele had passed away in 1926, so 7 years later, when the mural was being painted, Forsythe was the last living member of the fabled Hoosier Group, five painters who started getting noticed around 1894.
For painting their own home territory, things that actually hadn't ever before been noticed for being particularly beautiful.
Though comrades in promoting the Indiana landscape.
Forsythe was always jealous of T.C. Steele, even though they were pretty good friends.
Such good friends, in fact, that Forsythe lived with Steele's family while both artists were studying in Munich.
But he was always writing letters back like, oh, poor T.C. Steele, you know, he's getting a little better and he's trying really hard, but he's never really going to be much of an artist.
Despite Forsythe's prediction, Steele returned from Munich to become Indiana's premier portraitist and Forsythe, a lifelong teacher. Both men became known for their landscapes painted on site across southern Indiana. But as IU Art Museum curator Nan Brewer explains, Forsythe kept pushing past the impressionistic look of the Hoosier Group.
There's more of a range of stylistic approach in Forsythe than in Steele, who, once he comes to the impressionist style, really adheres to that throughout the rest of his career.
You can say, I have a Forsythe, and then someone comes and looks at it and says, wow, you know, that's a really different one, or I wouldn't have ever thought that was a Forsythe.
He was experimental, but when it comes right down to it, he identified himself as a very traditional painter. And so, for example, when he attended the Armory show, he was
horrified. Part of that was the feeling that a lot of the modern artists didn't pay their dues the way he had. But he seemed to have some misgivings later. And I think some people even identified him as a modern artist if they looked at some of those paintings that are very gestural and just barely representational.
Take The Red City, for example, the jewel of the Forsythe retrospective. The prize-winning 1913 canvas marks a shift in his approach.
This was completely done from Forsythe's imagination. We stopped at one point making paintings from looking at things to summoning his own imagery from his own imagination, which is a very modernist sensibility.
It might be a stretch, but Forsythe's latent modernism may have secured his place in history, Benton's version at least. Forsythe was one of the rare members of the Indiana art establishment who weren't outraged by the choice of a non-Hoosier modernist painter for the World's Fair mural project.
Given some of the changes in Forsythe's own style over his career, he would have understood this progression in American artistic styles.
The portrait may have been Benton's way of thanking Forsyth for giving his blessing.
There wasn't as much negative sentiment about Benton after William Forsyth because of his stature within the arts community.
But it was more than just a political move, Brewer argues.
He puts William Forsyth center stage in a panel devoted to the art and culture of the late 19th century into the early 20th century in Indiana. So he recognized his importance and the importance of the Hoosier Group in really raising the profile of Indiana on the world stage.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Yael Cassander.
William Forsyth, Only the Strong Persist, is on view at the Indiana State Museum in Indianapolis through March 29th, 2015.